Utah skiers and riders, and welcome to Last Chair, the Ski Utah podcast. I'm your host, Tom Kelly. It's April here in Utah, and as we speak, it's dumping snow across the state. It's turned out to be a great season, and there's still a little bit left. A big welcome to our friends Pixie and the Partygrass Boys, one of Utah's favorite bands. Watch for some new music coming out soon. And let's give a big shout out to our friends at High West, Utah's first legal distillery since 1870. High West is passionate about crafting delicious and distinctive whiskeys and helping people appreciate whiskey, all in the context of our home right here in the American West. When you're in Utah, visit one of High West's locations in Park City and nearby Wanship. Have a sip and toast to our Last Chair sponsor, High West. This week, we also welcome back longtime episode sponsor, Cooper Wynn. For more than four decades, Cooper Wynn Property Management has been matching skiers to vacation rentals in Park City. Check out Cooper Wynn as you plan your trip to Utah at pclodge.com. And thanks to my favorite glove company, Hestra, for joining in on this episode as well. For over 85 years, Hestra has been producing the highest quality, warmest gloves you can own. Check out Hestra Gloves at www.hestragloves.com. This week, we're going skiing at Alta with a pair of kindred souls. These two young women have a fascinating story of friendship, which plays out for them hucking tricks together off backcountry snow pillows. 10 years ago, Devin Logan made history, winning silver in the first Olympic slopestyle skiing competition in Sochi, Russia. Meanwhile, back home near Devin's childhood home on Long Island, Caroline Clare was a young girl with a dream. 7 years apart in age, young Caroline met her new hero at Mount Snow's Devin Logan Day after the Games. And 4 years later, they had become friends and skied together as Olympians in Pyeongchang. Devin and Caroline are now in the final production stages of their new film, Kindred, at Alta. Kindred is the vision of filmmakers Sarah Robbins and Iz Lamott. Sponsored by Ski Utah, Steel, and Alta, it speaks to the impact hero athletes have on young skiers and how mentorship breeds friendship. As you'll quickly see in this episode of Last Chair, Devin and Caroline are indeed kindred spirits. And not only can they send it off towering Olympic slopestyle features, but they're real rippers anywhere on the mountain. Kindred is coming out this fall, and watch for it. But today, settle in for a great ride down the mountain as we catch up with Devin Logan and Caroline Clare at Alta in Little Cottonwood Canyon, right here on Last Chair. Welcome to Last Chair, the Ski Utah podcast. It is a bluebird day. We're overlooking Mount Superior. We're up at Alta in Little Cottonwood Canyon. Glorious day. Devin Logan and Caroline Clare with us. We're going to talk about the movie Kindred that they're filming and a few other sort of things. Devin and Caroline, thanks. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us, Tom. Yeah, it was a beautiful day out today.
Devin, I know we were only up in the mountain for a few runs, but you guys have fun up there?
Yeah, having a nice off-groomer day with bluebird skies is nice comparing to our weather days while filming, so.
Did you have a few of those?
Yeah, I was kind of making a joke. Like, we've just been like on like variable terrain, like bumps, whatnot. So it's like when we're on a groomer, we like kind of cherish it. We're like, whoa, this feels smooth and nice and calm compared to what we've been filming.
You do bumps?
Well, like the runs we're on, they're pretty bumpy, or they can be bumped out, like skied out pow. So yeah.
Have they been treating you well at Alta?
Oh yeah, we're getting the VIP treatment here, that's for sure.
Did you get some good shots?
Yeah, so we were filming already having four film days, but one of our days here at Alta, it snowed overnight and it was a nice, beautiful, sunny day. And we got backstage passes escorted through the Alta ski patrol to the shoulder while everyone else was watching us do the traverse and got to capture that on the film. So it should be a pretty fun little segment in Kindred.
Is that a fun run up there, Caroline?
Oh, yeah. We were rock stars. I just kept like whispering. I was like, we're rock stars. But it was cool. It was like ski patrol had bombs going off like 50 feet from us. We're just like kind of huddled under this like little like rock face. And yeah, it was unreal.
You've come a long way from Mount Snow.
Yeah, there's no bombs going off at Mount Snow.
No, it's really fun here. Just to explore this a little bit further, there's powder shots if you want to go find them today. But what's it like up there just on a bluebird day when you can just see forever? You can look over to Mount Superior. What's that like for you guys?
I mean, it's unreal. This place has become like kind of like a sanctuary for me here in Utah. And especially on days like today when we just have bluebird, there's some pow still like on the shoulder and ballroom and stuff like that. And just getting to show up and being able to see and like it's warm. It's a nice spring day. Yeah, it's unreal.
Yeah, spring at Alta is like no other. And just being out here on a day where there's no clouds. You can see all the way down into the valley. It's very majestic. You come off of Collins before dropping into that Groomer Run, and that's what you look out to. So got to take it in and cherish it because it's super fun, and then you get to enjoy the patio too afterwards.
We're going to talk about your background growing up in Long Island and moving out to Utah. Devin, when did you move out to Utah?
I moved out to Utah in 2011 after I graduated high school. So I moved out here to pursue my ski team career.
Caroline, how about you?
It was 2019. I had taken a gap year in Vermont after high school and decided to take a second gap year and move out and train with the team full time.
Pretty nice here.
Not bad.
I mean, that's why we're still here, right?
Yeah.
Right. You probably still will stay for a long time. Devin, let's talk first, each of you, about your backgrounds. And we're going to lead up to how the two of you connected and how you came to do this film, Kindred. But Devin, your background first, just a couple of quick points. Three-time Olympian, silver medalist in the slopestyle in the first Olympics when free skiing was held in Sochi. Give us a little bit of your background, how you got to that Olympics and how you've really fashioned a career in free skiing.
Yeah, as hopefully people watch Kindred, they'll learn. I grew up in Long Island, and I would do weekend trips up to Vermont with my family and started skiing and competing when I was 6 years old and attended Mount Snow Academy middle school and high school. And I fully moved up to Vermont going into high school and committed myself to skiing. And as you know, it happened, a snowball effect of going to competitions and doing well led me to being named to the first U.S. free ski team. And so I moved out to Park City after high school and still here, and ended up getting an Olympic spot in 2014 for slopestyle and winning the first silver medal, which was crazy. And then that's kind of when I went back to Mount Snow. They had a Devin Logan day, and that's when I met Caroline for the first time. She knew about me, but I was just kind of coming back and living in the moment, and there's a cute picture of us.
It's not cute.
Signing autographs. But yeah, then that led into two more Olympics, Pyeongchang in 2018, where I competed in both halfpipe and slopestyle and got to experience an Olympics with Caroline for the first time. I'll never forget opening ceremonies, knowing that like two girls out of Vermont and out of Mount Snow specifically can, you know, make it to the worldwide stage, and doing it together was pretty remarkable. And then, yeah, the Beijing Olympics in 2022, where I finished my career off. So,
Caroline, how about you? Your career kind of mirrored that, but I think you're, what, about 7 years apart?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't even have to really speak right now. But no. Yeah, grew up in Rockville Center, New York. Moved up to Vermont in 2013. Moved to Wilmington, the same town Dev was from in Vermont. My parents are still there. They've been there for over 10 years now. Went to Mount Snow Academy for my eighth grade year. And then I actually transitioned over to a full-time ski academy program, Stratton Mountain School, so I could work with Devin's former coach, Jesse Malice, who was, at the time when Devin was at Mount Snow Academy, he was the head coach. But yeah, so Jesse was my coach for those 4 years. I made the U.S. ski team the end of my freshman year of high school, so 2015. Was on the rookie team throughout my high school experience, and then made the 2018 Olympic team my senior year of high school. So that was cool. And took a couple gap years, was like, what am I still doing in Vermont? Like, let's go to Utah, let's go to Park City. And I actually, yeah, moved in with Devin. Funny enough, she was moving to like the basement apartment of this house that we were living in. And I actually took her space upstairs, but basically roommates, so.
Is that in Old Town?
Yeah, kind of in the Trailside area.
Okay, cool. So I want to go back to the Sochi Games, Devin. That was a formative time for free skiing on the Olympic stage. The first time free skiing had been in the Olympics. It was pretty competitive just to make that U.S. team, wasn't it?
Yeah. So during an Olympic year, you're allotted 4 maximum spots for your country, depending on how well the team does the year prior. So with the U.S. being so dominant, we were allotted 4 spots for men and women. And so just making it to the Olympics is tough in itself because you're battling out your teammates and your roommates and your friends for just such a little spot. And when you finally get to the Olympics, it kind of seems like it's a little bit easier because you know that these 6 women were in the top 10 in the whole world, but they only took 4. So 2 of them are unfortunately sitting out and they're best in the world. So it kind of makes the competition a little bit easier, but also knowing that you know, there's someone back at home that would be dying to be in your shoes. So going into my first Olympics, it was just taking everything in. I've heard from former Olympians just to, you know, not put any expectations on what's going to happen because everything's different, kind of go with the flow. And yeah, it worked out in my favor that day.
Did you have family members there?
Yeah, my mom flew there to watch me compete. She had actually hadn't been on a flight in like 10 years. And then she flew to Russia. And while she was flying over, my older sister went into labor with her oldest. So now thinking back on that and my nephew being 10 years old, it's a decade flies by. But, you know, having family members there to witness it was a great time. And we'll never forget the hug I gave my mom during the media center afterwards. It was a special time.
Did you know that she was going to be there?
Yeah, I knew she was going to be there. I was kind of like, you got to be there because who knows if I'm going to be able to go back. You know, this could be a once in a lifetime thing. Luckily, I was able to make two more teams after that, which is also crazy to think about. But yeah, also her not traveling out of the country for 10 years and then a sister getting a new nephew before competing and then capping it off with the silver medal. It was kind of everything aligned. And then I had my 21st birthday a week later. So really got to celebrate and enjoy that whole year.
Cool. You have both competed in both slopestyle and halfpipe, right? You're just a slopestyle. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Caroline's just slopestyle, but then I'll go back to you, Devin. How difficult is it to make that transition between the two?
It's really hard. And I think that's what kept driving me after Sochi. You know, a big goal of mine was to make both the halfpipe and slopestyle team going into Russia. And again, I wouldn't take anything back, but I was actually number one in the world for a halfpipe and wasn't on the halfpipe team that year. So going into Pyeongchang, it was a huge goal of mine to make both teams, and knowing how much work it is, it's physically and mentally exhausting because you're trying to, one, be at both competitions at the same time. You're training every single day, every hour of the day. And as the progression of the sport increased, it just got more and more difficult to keep up with the tricks. So was happy to pass that baton and torch off to the younger ones that are still all doing it. Kudos to them because it takes a long time. And again, so many people are focused on one event and tricks to do it. And you're kind of splitting yourself into two and splitting yourself thin. So happy to have achieved that goal in Pyeongchang to compete in both events. But yeah, had to give up one or the other going into Beijing and wanted to fully focus on halfpipe then.
Caroline, what were the elements of slopestyle that were really attractive to you? I mean, as a spectator, we look at these and we think they're really going to huck themselves off those big features. But what was it that really ignited a flame in you and got you motivated to participate in that sport?
I think the appeal for like slopestyle skiing has always been, it's never been this super aggressive looking sport to me. It's seemed very like fluid and like free flowing, and it's really creative. You can make it whatever you want it to be. And I think a big part of it for me was like, especially growing up watching Devin, I was like, who's this girl that's like really good at grabbing her skis? Like, this is awesome. Like at the time I was like, there was no females around me in Vermont to like look up to that were hitting huge jumps and like doing these like unreal grabs. For me with slope, I could make a competition run whatever I wanted it to be. And at the end of the day, maybe the judges agreed with my style or direction, or maybe they didn't, but it was a really cool feeling and really rewarding when you were like rewarded and did well at an event for it. But yeah, I think just the free-flowing, fun nature of it was the biggest appeal.
Caroline, let's go back to 2014. You're probably, what, around 14 or so at the
time?
Just turning 14. And you're watching the Olympics, and you see a girl from the town right next door to you. What did that mean to you as a young girl starting to get fascinated with free skiing?
It was everything. Honestly, that January going into the Olympics, the month before, I actually broke my elbow. So I wasn't skiing. So I had all this time to watch the Olympics. And I was in a cast from my shoulder all the way down to my fingers in like a 90 degree angle. It was the heaviest, bulkiest, crappiest thing, honestly. But I remember when I was getting it set, they were like, what color do you want? And it's honestly kind of cringy now to think about. But at the time I was like, I want the red, white, and blue like pattern that they had. So I was like, yeah, kitted out, like very patriotic. I was like, no one's signing this. Like, I'm in the Olympic spirit. But yeah, at the time I was just turning 14 years old, I was like, I don't even know what age you have to be to go to the Olympics. Like, I didn't really know what to expect. And a lot of people didn't know what to expect. It's the first time this event's been held. Seeing the course, it was like the biggest jumps I've ever seen, the biggest rails I've ever seen. And I just remember watching Devin. She had like the most like just calming run to me. Like, she had a huge switch five or switch seven.
Switch five.
Okay. I got it right. And yeah, I just remember being like, wow, that was smooth and calm. And she made it look so graceful when a lot of girls are kind of struggling to get down this course. So yeah.
Before you watched that in 2014, did you know much about the Olympics and about free skiing in the games?
I honestly didn't know much about free skiing at all. Like, I had watched maybe an X Games Big Air here and there, but all I really knew of free skiing had to do with like Corinthia Parks at Mount Snow and like growing up and just like skiing the park every weekend with my friends. Like, I didn't know like the rich history of like where it came from, like what people were doing out west. I didn't know big names, but like when you have a big name that's from where you're from, like, you know that name. So I always made the joke. I was like, Devin's like Beyonce in the Deerfield Valley. Like, I always would say that. And she came back and like Mount Snow renamed the mountain for the day, like Mount Logan or Mount Devon, something like that.
Yeah,
and they changed all the trail signs. And it was just really cool. Like, it was like a party. Like, there's so many people that showed up to like see Devon, and it was really special.
It's an interesting story, and we're going to talk a little bit more about Kindred, the film that Devon and Caroline are producing right now together with some amazing filmmakers that we'll also talk about. Devin, you guys don't know each other in 2014. You've just won the silver medal. You go back to Devin Logan Day at Mount Snow. And how did the two of you meet?
I think we first really met when Caroline started in her World Cup debuts. I remember Mammoth Mountain, there was a competition, and this was after 2014. I think it was 2015 that next year. Again, like Caroline said, our coach Jessie Malice was there with the Stratton team, and she was competing in her first World Cup and just saying hello and catching up. And he was like, I got this girl on my team. She's really good. Like, you got to see her ski, but like, can you give her the speed for the jumps today? And I was like, yeah, sure. And I was like, hey, Caroline, how's it going? Like, trying to be really nice. And she said nothing to me. Like, she just dead face. And I was like, okay, like, do you want to like follow me into these jumps and like get the speed? Nothing. I was like, okay, are you ready? Like, I'm gonna go now. And then afterwards, I look back after the last jump and I was like, do you make them fine? All good. And then remember riding up the lift with Jessie again. I was like, I hope I didn't like say anything to her. She said nothing to me. Like, just probably now knowing the stories, starstruck, I'd say, but like just in awe of it. But we really got close when leading into the 2018 games and doing the Olympic qualifiers and being at every World Cup together and rooming together and just really getting to know one another and seeing her, you know, fulfill a goal of going to her first Olympics when she's a senior in high school. I remember, again, back at Mammoth Mountain, which is funny, I think she won that and that solidified her spot on the slopestyle team. And I think there's another picture of us giving each other hugs, but it's cool to see again that representation. That was Kelly Clark for me in Mount Snow, seeing someone else go to the Olympics and seeing that it is possible from a small town to be able to achieve these big dreams. And then hearing it from Caroline, seeing me and knowing that she can achieve those dreams. I think there's something in the water in Westover, but no, it's cool to, you know, have those experiences together and kind of like watch her grow up and be a role model and a big sister to her. It's been super fun on and off the snow.
Caroline, do you remember that day when you didn't have much to say?
Yeah, I remember it, but I remember it because I don't remember not speaking. I think I was just terrified because the jumps were like humongous. And I was like, I've never hit a jump even close to this big. And Mammoth loves really making like a picturesque, like very like photogenic, like a jump. So like, it looks like a monster and maybe it's not going to ski like one, but I was 2 days 15, just eligible to ski in my first World Cup, and was like, oh my gosh, it's windy and like variable and I'm going to follow my like superhero into a jump right now. I remember it like really vividly, actually. And even like Devin mentioning, like, fast forward like 3 years later to like me qualifying in Mammoth and having to get a podium at that event and doing it the last possible time. I was thinking about that like moment last night when I was thinking about recording this pod, just being like, wow, I remember like giving you that hug. And that was a really special moment.
Yeah, it's role models are really fascinating. I want to go back to the comment you made about Kelly Clark, who also grew up near Mount Snow. She was a snowboarder, but was an influence to you.
Yeah, definitely. I'll never forget the time when I was attending Mount Snow Academy. She came back to talk after Torino when she got a fourth place. So one, you are an Olympic gold medalist, but you go to your second games and you come back in, you know, in a fourth place position, and giving us a talk of her experience was huge for someone my age. I think I was, again, 14 or 15 years old. And so knowing that it was possible to do all those things, but at the same time, like, expectations are high, but you might not always succeed the way you want to, was huge at that time. And knowing that there was possibilities and training to be like, okay, I know my sport's not in the Olympics yet at that time, but I want to work to get to the highest tier events like X Games and things like that. So
do you remember any of the lessons you learned from her that day about finishing fourth?
That, you know, it's about the preparation. And maybe she commented on that day where, you know, she didn't prepare as well as she had thought she had, and lessons learned from, you know, from one Olympics to the next. Again, you can't compare one from the other because it's just going to be completely different experiences. But about how preparation is key, and how if you put, you know, the time in, it'll pay off. But that, again, maybe not to give up, and it lights a fire under you to keep going and keep pushing yourself. And I mean, after that, she kept pushing herself more and more, and it was cool to get on the scene and be a part of the US ski team and still have her kind of there. And every time seeing her at a competition, kind of reflecting on, like, we're, you know, Vermont girls at heart. And, you know, I grew up watching her, and being named to a team alongside her too is kind of like my little kid dreams coming true at the same time. So
Caroline, when you went to your first Olympics in Pyeongchang, Devin had been through that before. What advice and counsel did you get going into the games?
I think she just kind of like led by example. I don't think maybe it was anything specific she said to me. It was very much just like, she has always kind of kept a steady hand. She's been really calm, and just like watching her go about her every day at the Olympics, knowing she had two events to prepare for. She was honestly, yeah, really cool, calm and collected. And I just kind of like was like, all right, I'm kind of freaking out, but Devin seems to like, it's pretty chill for her. So I think it's actually going to be pretty chill. I think we're going to be okay. And maybe that Olympics didn't go how I wished it did, but it was a really good experience, something to build off of. And watching how Devin approached it, I went into the next one being like, this is another event. It just maybe has an Olympic tag like with it, but it's just another event.
So the two of you have this really interesting relationship that's been developed over time. How did the film Kindred come about?
We have talked about like doing something like this, but kind of more of like, kind of like shooting it back and forth as like, wow, you know, kind of how people talk about like, what if you won the lottery? Like, what would you do type of thing? Like, we never thought we'd see this come to fruition. And it wasn't until we started filming another project that we did last winter, Advice for Girls. Our two filmers is Lamont and Sarah Robbins. They approached us after filming being like, your banter and your relationship is like pretty contagious, and like there's something here and we want to build off of it. And we're like, wow, cool. Like, yeah, that sounds great. Not still thinking anything would maybe come about, but they like sat down and they really planned out a pitch like to come to us with, and it all sounded great. And we're like, this all sounds great still. We like need to find some rad people that want to get on board with this project. And thankfully we did, with Steo, Alta, and Ski Utah. And yeah, now we're sitting here and almost done with filming. And it's kind of crazy to think that everything did come together.
One of the things that's interesting to me about it is you've had this relationship and you probably just look at it as a relationship. Now a film comes along and it kind of puts a few labels and it quantifies a few things. Caroline, do you see the relationship different now that you're doing a film, or is this just kind of the way that it evolves?
I think it's just the way that it evolves. And also, it's now we just have a lot of wires attached to us maybe, and we're getting mic'd up. And it's kind of funny because Dev and I like joke, we're like, we don't even know what we're saying to each other half the time. Like, it's just kind of like this like free flowing thought. And we're like, I don't know. And then we get texts at the end of filming days from our filmers being like, you guys are hilarious. Like, this stuff we're already getting, like, just on the mics is just, like, too good. It's just constant banter back and forth. Like, it's almost like we're speaking code half the time. But, yeah, we're just laughing all day. And, yeah, it's just who we are. Like, it doesn't feel like we have these cameras on us. We have two of our really good friends filming it. Like, we just have a great crew.
Devin, what's your take on it?
Yeah, I mean, when Iz and Sarah presented us with this pitch of our story, you know, it's every skier's dream, especially after competition and retirement, to be in a ski film or make a ski film. And so I think that was very something that we both wanted and goals that we had for each other. But knowing that our relationship was very fun and playful, but also I see Caroline as a little sister. So our banter, it may sound, you know, intense talking to friends, but it's from a place of love and a good heart. And we can, you know, go back and forth at each other. And at the end of the day, still have a beer together and be good. But having someone else kind of pitch out what your story is in a film is really cool to see, because I don't think either of us would have come up with that. So having an outside perspective on what we've had, and I think it really made, at least for myself, put into perspective of like, wow, our story is very unique. It's very, I don't know, something that no one else has. It's very kindred. And that's why we came up with the name Kindred, because the parallels that we share in our life, you need to make a movie out of it. When are you going to get a story like that? But yeah, we've been pushing ourselves a lot. Since it's different skiing, we're both retired from competition, so it's more backcountry and big mountain where we want to see ourselves. And that's why we continue to ski, because we love it for these reasons. And the mountain brings out something special in the both of us, and being able to do that together and really push each other. Some of our film days here, there's times when Carol would send something and I'm like, well, I can't let her show me up. Like, I got to go do it too. And so, you know, as much as it's a little scary for me, I hike up and I'm like, all right, we're doing this. Cameras are on. And having the Iz and Sarah be there to make us feel very comfortable in ourselves, I think it's going to showcase in the film. And I'm excited. So we still have more ski days to come and some more interviews, which is probably the scariest part, is talking about ourselves and each other. But no, I'm really excited.
You two are really kindred spirits. And Caroline, tell us a little bit more about how the name came up. What was the process to come up with Kindred?
Honestly, we like threw around a bunch of names, but the big theme is like parallels. And we did throw out that name, Parallels. And we were like, at first I was like, I like that. And a couple of days ago, I was like, I do not like that name. I really like Kindred. This was the good choice. But yeah, it's a film about similarities and being 7 years apart, but like, yeah, we are kind of kindred spirits, kindred souls. I do see her as this older sister I never had but probably needed, and kind of vice versa. Maybe the younger sister she didn't have but needed.
Never wanted. No.
But yeah, this name makes sense. And I think we kind of settled on it and we all felt really good about it. And I kind of made a joke. I was like, I'm going to ask AI like some names. And I was like, these are terrible.
Did you do that?
100%. I don't remember what they were, but they were not good. Parallels might have been one of them. But the rest were god-awful. I was like, no.
How did you do it? What did you input into ChatGPT to get that?
I said something. I was like, I'm making a ski movie with like my best friend, and it's about our like similarities in skiing and similar career paths and trajectories just 7 years apart. Like, generate like 10 possible names for like a short film. And they shot back a bunch, and they were really cheesy. And I was like, and I think Devin and I were both like, we try to be like as simple as possible, whether it's like with our skiing or like who we are. And we wanted to keep it simple and fun, and Kindred, just one word, something really. And it just like kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
It emulated everything that we were trying to go for.
I think when someone said it out loud, I was like, yeah, that's it. And when you know, you know. But it just stuck.
It was funny at first. Sarah like couldn't say Kindred. Like, she was just fumbling over the word nonstop in this whole call. She's just like, kindred. She's now can say it. But now we have a joke that we say Kindred.
This is great. So you guys, this was your decision,
yeah.
The title.
Yeah, the group. So me, Caroline, Iz, and Sarah. So we're a squad. So we all always have votes on it.
Let's talk a little bit about the production. I first want to talk on the ski side. You're here to tell a story. How do you tell that story on snow?
I think just your style of skiing, you know, a big thing of how I express myself on snow is dependent on kind of what music I'm listening to. And so I think in the film, you'll see us always like dabbling with our headphones and stuff to get in the right mindset and the right zone. And if you're feeling the music, you know, you're going to ski a line the certain way. So I think showcasing that in my skiing of what I'm listening to. And also, I just want to make it look as smooth and clean as possible for those watching.
Do you listen usually to tunes when you're skiing?
Yeah, most every day. If I'm not listening to music, it's an off day, or I'm in the backcountry listening to the elements. But every time I was skiing in competition, I needed music to kind of tone down the thoughts in my head, listen to something else, and trust my body. So again, when you're out there and you find a good song and you're ready to, you know, drop a line or drop a pillow and you're like, okay, I got to wait till the beat drops. And then you're just like fully immersed in the music and your brain's not thinking about, oh, I have to do this and this and this. It's your body just takes over, and we're professional skiers and we've been doing this a long time. And sometimes you just have to quiet the mind and let the body take over. So music is very, I think, big in both of our skiing. And
Caroline?
I was just going to say ditto. Like, yeah, 100%. If I don't have music on, I was telling Deb today, I was like, oh, I don't have music. Like, we have an interview and stuff like that. But I was like, all I hear is the wind. And then I hear my thoughts. And I think a cool thing about this project specifically, like compared to competing, when I was competing, I felt like I had a lot of like internal dialogue, whether at the top of a course or like in the middle of a competition run. And I think that was a hard thing for me to like work through and handle. And we had a day up in like side country off of the Supreme Lift here. And I'm at the top about to like hit this cliff that is pretty big. And I've never hit anything like it in my life. And normally if I'm standing at the top of a big jump about to try to go do some trick, maybe in a park, I have a lot of internal dialogue going on. I'm saying a lot. It might be pretty negative. I might be like, I don't know if I can do this type of thing. And it was really cool being at the top of just like this kind of backcountry zone and being like, I have no thoughts and I don't have any fear because I don't have these thoughts. I'm really present right now. And I think it was like, that was the most rewarding thing. I don't even know if it was hitting the cliff itself or landing. I think it was honestly just getting to the bottom and being like, that was the first time in my like ski life I've ever had kind of that like free flow state. So
was it filmed?
It was filmed. Yeah.
So it'll be in the film.
Yeah, you'll see it.
You'll be in the film. Just quickly, what's on your playlist, Caroline?
Oh, man. Oh, this puts me on the spot. Right now, it's been, today specifically, I was listening to some country music, which I can't believe I'm saying out loud.
This is great.
But what have I been listening to? Oh, I've been listening to a lot of jazz lately. There's this song, Places and Spaces, by Donald Byrd. I heard it in a pizza place recently, and I've been listening to it nonstop. It's just like 7 minutes of just like really kind of playful jazz. And I've been skiing to a lot of jazz music the last like month.
So when you hear a song in a pizza place, how do you catalog it?
I'm like, what is this song? I'm Shazamming it. And then I'm putting it away. And then I'll probably listen to it nonstop for a couple weeks until maybe I get sick of it or I don't get sick of it. But I'm always looking for music in the terms of, how could I ski to this music? Would I want to ski to this music? And like, could I use this music in a ski production? And so I think specifically now, knowing this whole season I've been making this project with Devin, I've been so, my ears have just been open to like anything and everything. And I think it's cool. Our text message, like group chat exchange we have right now, it's just been so much music we've been all sharing with one another. And maybe there's not a ton of opinions attached to it, but it's cool to just throw ideas out there and see how our music could align.
Devin, what's on your playlist?
I always just listen to save songs that I have on repeat. So I listen to a lot of rap, Drake, but then I've been also getting into a lot more upbeat kind of, not techno, but more like house music, again, to get yourself excited for big lines that you're going to ski, but something that you can dance to and sing along with.
So when you're filming and you're going to do some big hits, what's the process? I mean, you're just not out skiing in the backcountry. You have to wait for the filmers and everybody to be mm-hmm. in place, for the light to be right. Does that add tension?
A little bit. I think that's a big learning curve that we've seen while filming Kindred, because usually we just go and we bomb, you know, runs, but the hurry up and wait, you can, you know, be ready for a line and then the light, you got to wait on that to hit. And that could take 10 or 15 minutes. Camera batteries are running low. We got a lens switch, you know, so we're always in constant communication. But when you're up there waiting and you're just getting anxious, you're like, okay, I'm ready to go. So when the light pops and they're like, go, we have the window, it feels great to like finally capture that. And there's been a couple scenes where I think after the run we both were like, that felt really good, like I hope it looks as good as it feels, you know.
Do you ever, Caroline, have you ever hit something that you feel really good about and maybe it didn't get filmed right?
Yeah, 100%. I feel like, I'm not saying our filmers can't film. It's not,
it happens.
It's not to do with them. It's more like me being really hard on myself. Like yeah, they'll show particular. Me it and they'll be like, oh my God, this is so sick. Look at it. And I'm like, huh? Like, sure. And they're like, you are so particular. And that's just Devin and I, we've always been really particular about our skiing and trying to convey a very specific sort of kind of style. We can be really hard on ourselves, but that's why we were professional athletes and we're still making a film like this today. So
you're exactly right. We're going to take a quick show break. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about Kindred. We'll talk about Steo and have some fun with our Fresh Track section. We'll be right back on Last Chair. One of the great aspects of skiing and riding in Park City is the vast array of vacation rental opportunities, from intimate slopeside inns to comfy rentals just steps from historic Main Street. This season, experience Park City's winter wonderland with Cooper Wynn Property Management, your ideal stop to find that home away from home, everything from studios to four-bedroom rentals and more. Cooper Wynn offers a distinctive collection of Park City vacation rentals. Many are close to Park City's free bus system, so you can avoid renting a car. You have a lot of choices today, but as a Park City local myself, I know the value that long-term knowledge brings, and that's Cooper Wynn. Now is a great time to start planning your next season's ski vacation. Check out discounts available from Cooper Wynn at pclodge.com. That's pclodge.com. Cooper Wynn, your home away from home in Park City. We're back on The Last Chair with Devin Logan and Caroline Clare. We're talking about Kindred, film that will be coming out this fall. Just to summarize a little bit, pretty simple, straightforward question. Caroline, why'd you do the film?
It's kind of just a story of Devin and I's life, and I think it's cool, and it's something only us two have really known how cool it is. And so now that we can share it with so many people, that is even cooler. And I think it's going to hit home for a lot of people, and they're going to love it.
Devin?
Yeah, I think after having a successful competition career, being a professional skier, you're always wanting to be in a film segment or wanting to do a film. So I think this was definitely a passion project that fell into our lap so organically that you just had to say yes. And Iz and Sarah presenting it to us in a way of we couldn't say no. It was so easy. And then being able to get the backing so easily from Steo, from Alta, from Ski Utah, supporting our project. Again, the stars aligned and things fell into place, and to showcase our story and how unique it is, it's going to be cool to see.
We often see the stars on the screen, and that's what is in our mind as we're watching a film. We don't always think about the people behind it. Sarah Robbins and Iz Lamott have played a really vital role here. We don't see them on the screen, but Caroline, what's the importance of, you know, and maybe relating it to having a good coach, but having good people behind the cameras and making you feel comfortable and directing the thing in a way that's going to showcase you as an individual. What does that mean to you as an athlete?
It's massive. I mean, just having like kind of like a constant comfort that this person's backing you and they're here for you like every step of the way. It's the same as having a really good coach. And yeah, we've just felt like we've been in this super safe space. Like I've filmed stuff before with maybe other filmers, and nothing against anyone, but having these two ladies that are just so rad and so smart and just really know what they're doing and just want to support you, and they're also like your really good friends at the same time. It's a really cool circumstance that we get to be in, and it's something like, yeah, I'm never going to take for granted. Like they get to make our passion project, and that's like the coolest thing at the end of the day.
Cool. Devin?
Yeah, just working with them last year with Advice for Girls, I think we really got comfortable with them, and that's how our relationship got established. But working with all women team. It's uplifting seeing what these ladies have done and what they're going to do in their film and photography careers. And it makes you comfortable in the backcountry, especially when you're hitting things that you haven't hit before, having the backing and the cheering when you land, and just having your hype women around you is everything when filming, and feeling comfortable and knowing that they're working just as hard, if not harder, than we are out there, because they want to portray us in a way to make us proud, but themselves proud. So I'm excited. And, you know, we have some goals of hopefully where Kindred will be played, hopefully getting into more film festivals and showcasing it to the world.
I know we're doing this podcast in early April. You're not even finished filming Kindred yet. It will be out this fall. Do you have any sense of where people will be able to see it this fall and coming up next season?
Yeah, there's talk about hopefully getting into some film festivals. Those details I'm not too certain about. Throwing around hopefully Banff Film Festival, IF3 would be, you know, a dream come true. Definitely trying to get it played here at Alta would be awesome. But yeah, do a Steo tour talking about at all their locations to promote it. So it's still in the works, but the more the merrier, and getting it, the word spread, and the more eyes on it, the better.
Good. We will put notes in the show notes on skiutah.com so you can find out a little bit more. Let's talk about one of your sponsors, Steo. You know, you're out there filming week after week after week, so you really need to have good gear. I'm a big fan of Steo. You guys are decked out in it here today. Devin, why don't you kick it off? You're a Steo ambassador. You guys, I imagine, are all decked out in the Figment line, right?
Yeah, we're in the Figment Free Ride line for Kindred, but it's awesome being a Steo ambassador, and Sarah Beam Robbins, also an ambassador, to showcase this movie. But it was the first time, I mean, I'm recently new to the ambassador program, but again, having their backing in this project, but their stuff is amazing. It's very technical for the weather that we've endured during this filming process. We're out in a lot of snow days from 7:45 to 3:30, staying dry and warm, but having the movability in the gear to get around in the backcountry, but also the warmth and the layering, the amount of pockets for pocket snacks. No, it's been awesome. Love the colorway. Mine pops a little bit more than Carol's. I'm in the Shadow Cactus, but I really love it, and I'm excited to be on this brand and them supporting us.
What do you think of the bibs?
Bibs are great. I love a good bib. I've always been a bib lover, but they're nice. The pockets are like humongous, and I always honestly lose things. I was making a joke this morning that like you could have a pocket bagel. The bibs are so big in the pockets. But yeah, I love the gear. I feel like I'm a very particular person, and I was like, oh, you know, changing to a new brand or something, but it's been so seamless, and it's just such good quality. It's hard to pass up.
Have you both been to the Steo store on Main Street in Park City?
Yep.
What I love about going in there is just going in the bright colors.
Yep. They have really good colorways. I'm in the black kit, the Figment kit for this production, but Devin's Cactus Shadow. Yeah, Cactus Shadow kit is beautiful.
Cactus Shadow, is that the name of it?
Yeah, that's the name of this. And it's cool to see, as we've been filming, especially here at Alta, but there's so many people that are decked out in Steo gear and just have heard amazing feedback of, again, you're in the mountains for long periods of time, staying dry and staying warm, but being able to do what you have to do. I mean, I've spent probably 12 plus hours in this outfit and have been comfortable and didn't really need to change or feel the need to change. So I think that really is the stamp of approval for myself.
Yeah, it really is a fun company. And I also like their approach to sustainability. Mm-hmm. You guys have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, just being also a POW ambassador, how they work closely alongside with that. And again, we live so much in the mountains and in the outdoors that we're trying to preserve the snow that we get. And we know that climate change is real, and that what we do in our everyday life affects the fun that we have in the mountains. So knowing that a company also has those same qualities, it was just a win-win, knowing to wanting to support them and them supporting me, but also supporting the outdoor community and for the next generations to enjoy the mountains.
Well, let's wrap it up with one more serious question, then we'll do some fun stuff. But I want you both to think back, and Caroline, I'm going to go to you first. Think back to What was it when you were a young girl that ignited your passion for skiing? And what is it that you feel today when you're up in the mountains?
I think when I was young, I just like loved going fast. And like that kind of started with like kind of having a foundation in alpine skiing. And my coach I worked with back in Vermont at Mount Snow when I was like 7 years old, her name was Sally White. And she actually was on the US ski team for alpine. And she's the best skier I think to this day I'll ever ski with. And I just wanted to be just like her. And one day she like took me in the park and it was like one of the last runs of the day. And I just became like dead set on trying to clear the biggest jump at the end of this park. And it was the Gulch, Mount Snow, like iconic park. And I just kept knuckling and kept knuckling. And she took me down. It was just me and her at the end of the day. She dropped me off with my dad and she turned to my dad and she was like, I lost her. And my dad's like, what? She's like, she's going to be a park skier. Like, I'm annoyed. She could have been a great alpine skier, I think. And so, yeah. And it kind of translates just to today. Like, I just want to ski fast and I want to have a lot of fun. And skiing is the most present thing I can do for myself. And it keeps me in the best frame of mind. And yeah, I never want to change it. I want to ski fast. And yeah.
If you have a bad day, do you want to go skiing?
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
It helps, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Devin?
Yeah, I think I learned how to love skiing when I was so young because of the freedom that I had on the mountain. I think, you know, growing up when you're 6 years old and you get put into a program, but, you know, you don't have the parents, your parents looking after you. There's no, you know, speed limits on the mountain. I just wanted to go fast. Like Caroline said, I looked up to Peekaboo Street and wanted to just do downhill and the less turns the better. But as I started progressing in the park, I just wanted to, you know, be like the boys and be like my brothers and do everything they did. But having that freedom and expression, and I think that's what translated into slopestyle skiing, because it is a judge sport. You're able to have that freedom to take a run in any way you want. You don't have to look like everyone else. You can kind of do that. So still to this day, having the freedom of going up on the mountains and clearing your head and going fast, but also the relationships that I've gained on the mountain. I mean, some of my closest friends are the ones that I grew up with skiing. And again, like mine and Caroline's relationship started through skiing. And that's something that we share and we can go up and take a couple runs together. If that's not even talking to each other and listening to our own music and going fast, we kind of just have this inter dialogue that we don't have to talk to each other. We just know like what's going to happen. So having that freedom to just get lost in the snow is really nice.
I love that. You both have really given us a great descriptor of what the sport means to all of us. Well, we're going to have some fun with our last section. It's called Fresh Tracks. Just going to have a few, hopefully, simple questions looking for short, simple answers. And the first one for each of you, what's one thing that you love about skiing in Utah that you didn't have back home in the East? Devin?
Powder.
Sun.
Powder and sun.
Yeah, two Vermont girls.
I love it. But you did have a lot of good things in the East too.
No, definitely. Yeah, I think the foundation of skiing that we were brought up in, again, learning how to turn, learning how to do moguls and how to be just skiers and not just park rats. We can ski anything. And I think that's why we're still pursuing skiing even after competition careers.
Cool.
Born on ice.
Yeah, exactly. I'm from the Midwest, so I can claim that too. Trick that you're most proud of, Caroline.
I'd say my switch double cork 900.
Okay. Devin?
I think it was a toss up between like my Rodeo 5 Japan or just a cork 7 blunt.
How about your favorite competition venue anywhere in the world? Devin?
Ooh, I'd have to say European X Games in Teens, France was something remarkable. The amount of crowds that came up and watching them cheer for Kevin Roland is wild. The Frenchies go crazy.
They do.
I'd say Sisseralm in Italy. I competed in 3 World Cups there. The first one was my first World Cup podium, and the next two, I won both of them. So, memorable place.
Dolomites are just amazing.
And always
aren't they?
Unreal weather and like the best party at the bottom of the course.
Devin, what's your favorite food to cook? By the way, professional chef. Home chef.
I mean, I spend a lot of time leading into Korea. So for myself, I like cooking Asian food, but specifically Korean Asian food. Love some kimchi, some gochujang. But no, definitely Asian food is what I cook for myself and what I prefer. But I mean, being from Long Island, I always go back to like Italian roots, cooking for others, family style.
Carolyn, what's your favorite to have Devin prepare for you?
I was hoping you were going to ask this question. She's made this falafel for me before that's been really good. Also, she is a smoker, and she was, I think she had just gotten it, and you were testing out some wings, and you made these like kind of sweet, spicy, kind of Asian-y wing, and then also this like really hot truffle hot sauce wing they were unreal. We had such a good day, just like eating a bunch of food that Devin was cooking for us.
Devin, are you making lunch today?
I'm hungry.
I wish.
No, I'm going to Slips.
Yeah, we're getting a buffalo chicken wrap at Slipside Cafe.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that and an Elsa bomb. That's lunch of champions.
Final question. Caroline, your favorite Utah ski run, inbounds or backcountry?
Oh, man. I like Pipe Dream. It's over at Park City on the canyon side. And it hasn't really been groomed this year, but when it's groomed, you can just go like Mach 10 down it. And it's... yeah, it's unreal.
Devin?
I think the best run is actually springtime Alta, like a 420 high boy lap. And you ski with everyone down. I think that's something that's very memorable and just so much fun and can be chaotic, but you have a lot of laughs.
Devin Logan, Caroline Clare, you are kindred spirits. We're looking forward to the film coming out this fall. Thank you so much for joining us here at Alta on Last Chair.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
A big thanks to my friends at Devin Logan and Caroline Clare for spending a morning at Alta with Ski Utah photographer Martha Howe and myself. It was a blooper day up on the mountain that just reminds you of why we like to spend time here in the Wasatch Range. I can't wait to see Kindred. Watch for it this fall, and we'll have details on screenings posted at SkiUtah.com. Thank you to Ski Utah, Steo, and Alta for sponsoring Kindred, and to filmmaker Sarah Robbins and Iz Lamott for your vision. Before we close out, let's have a little chat about gloves. When I head up in the mountain here in Utah, I'm always packing my Hestra leather mittens. That's right, mittens. So I freaked out recently when I left them on a ski bus in Park City, but never fear, just a few days later, I had my new pair in the mail direct from Hestra, and I'm loving the new white and tan color blend. Hestra knows hands, and for over 85 years, Hestra has been producing the highest quality, warmest gloves that you can own. Crafted with durable, form-fitting leathers, they're made with the end user in mind. Don't let cold hands end a great day of skiing or riding early. With hundreds of different options, you'll find a Hestra glove or mitten that fits your needs. Check out Hestra gloves at www.hestragloves.com or at your local ski shop wherever Hestra gloves are sold. Hestra gloves, taking care of your hands since 1936. The Ski Utah Last Chair podcast is brought to you by High West Distillery. Follow our whiskey adventure on all social media platforms at Drink High West. And remember, sip responsibly. High West Whiskey, 46% alcohol by volume, High West Distillery in Park City, Utah. And if you like the podcast, share it with a friend and leave us a review. And make sure to subscribe to Last Chair to get every episode delivered directly to you. To close this out, let's welcome our friends Pixie and the Partygrass Boys. Watch for them on tour and stay tuned for some new music coming out soon. And thanks again to Devin and Caroline for joining us here on Last Chair. I'm Tom Kelly for Last Chair, presented by High West. Have fun. It is a great day to ski.
Oh, I love to ski. I'm living in Utah. I'm living in Utah. I'm living in Utah. Oh, I love to ski.